do we feel about documentaries and or carnivals? Well, we've got both on tonight's ABTV Voltron. We're going to talk about Season 8, Episode 7 and 8, Day 47 and Clear Day. We've got a couple of special guests, and we will be chatting about the making of a documentary and why you should maybe not listen to hallucinations up from your ex. We will see you guys after the opening, and team, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Half of chat called this, and I'm very proud of myself. I'm very proud of myself.
It was the most appropriate song for the opening.
Also, I'm a bit of a Disney aficionado, and just that song and Keith breaking his way, you gotta love it. You gotta love it. Welcome back. We are the AfterBuzz TV Voltron Legendary Defender After Show. We are looking at Season 8, Episodes 7 and 8, Day 47 and Clear Day. We're going to have a grand old time tonight, you guys, and we promise not to play this song the entire time. I say that now.
Do you mean that?
No.
Do you mean that?
No, I don't mean that. That's up to our engineer.
All right, I got to go.
But I was just about to introduce you.
Okay. Introduce me, then I'll leave.
Here, but only for the next 10 seconds, Green Lion Megan Salinas.
Hey, everybody.
I'm Black Lion Katie Cullen, and we have two very special guests with us tonight, episode directors for these nights for tonight's episodes. We have Rie Koga.
Hi, I'm Rie.
And Michael Chang.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us tonight, you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
we are super excited, and these episodes were so much fun. Before we get started, we're going to do a little housekeeping as always. If you want to get involved in the conversation, those of you who are watching live on the watching live, hello from the live chat. And those of you who are watching or listening later or who want to put up pictures or links, we have a hashtag on Twitter that is ABTVVoltron. Feel free to use that. Also, there are some people who are watching along at the pace of the show. You have amazing self-control and I love you. And to that end, we are only talking about episodes 7 and 8. Keep the comments, the hashtag, and the live chat spoiler free until we drop that spoiler warning. We will make it very obvious if and when we do. Finally, the house rule for the Tavern of Lions: be nice or get out. You all have opinions. I have every confidence that you can express them in a humane, respectful manner. And if you can't, you're getting banned. I love it.
And
I love it so much.
And the that's the sound us, effect that will happen.
The rest of us will enjoy that sound effect, and you will not be able to return to the channel. So most of you guys are pretty good at holding to that rule, and let's keep that pattern going.
Yeah, just be excellent to each other.
Yes, be good people. Thank you for joining us tonight for these episodes. These were, what was it like? What did you bring to these episodes?
For me, it was this episode, or day 47, was kind of like the break in between. I always enjoy those kind of episodes where you can see daily life, and it was a lot of fun. I was a little hesitant on the POV aspect because that can be tricky, finding the camera angles and stuff like that, but it was a lot of fun. It turned out really, really good with all the effects and all the camera adjustments and After Effects stuff, so I was really happy with how it turned out.
What POV did you find the most difficult?
Well, just staging everything in the camera, so it's not like you have to be aware of where the camera is. It's always the camera's POV. It's not somebody else's POV. So you gotta play with like how it moves from scene to scene and how it turns on and off. And so usually those things are kind of tricky, like when you do somebody's flashback or something, it's always their POV, and then moving the camera around can be difficult sometimes because on a limited budget, TV budget.
Yeah, that entire sequence where it's just spinning around in the halls, I was like, oh man, that must have been really difficult.
Yeah, coordinating all that stuff.
And then it pans here, and then it goes here, and yes, we're doing a spinning camera for several seconds. Good luck, guys. Storyboarders, have fun. All right, if we could have you lean in a little closer to the mic.
Sorry.
The microphone is your friend.
Yes.
It would like to get a little closer to you. And then, Rie, what was the most interesting aspect of Clear Day for you? What did you enjoy the most about it?
Oh, yeah. So, the Clear Day, this episode is another fun
fun episode after your episode, after Mike's episode. So I say it's whole episode is really fun. Oh, of course, except Alura's story, of course. Yeah, sadly she gets she suffers a lot. Yeah, but so except that, it's very fun episode. All it's carnival.
Yeah, it was a nice dichotomy between the light and the dark, like all the humor and then the dread of.
Yeah, so we get to see each character's personality, the side of the personality that we can enjoy, to see it.
I talking about the light and the dark of that particular episode, I really liked how everything at the carnival was in these really warm hues, and everything with Alura had this purple tint to it.
Yeah. It's sad to see, but it's a great balance of the
It was
the light side and the darker side.
It was a great contrast.
Mm-hmm.
I think let's dig into, I keep calling it episode 47 in my mind. That is not correct. I think episode 47 was sometime last season. Let's dig into day 47. This is the first time we've got a good chunk of dialogue from Kincaid. There's a lot more to him than I expected. So we have Kincaid, who is a videographer and evidently wanted to go into film, and being a fighter pilot was his backup. It's a heck of a backup job.
Yeah, it just shows how cutthroat the entertainment industry is. And going into the military seemed like a good backup plan. I really appreciated this because you get somebody who obviously studied film and has a love of storytelling and cinematography. You get his perspective on sort of day-to-day life being aboard the Atlas. That was probably, as somebody who studied telecommunication in school, I really appreciated that. So I was like, I can get behind what Kincaid's doing.
And I love that almost immediately we added Rezavi to the mix. So we have two very, very different takes on what this documentary should look like. Because she is extremely action movie, vibrant characters. This is gold. We need to keep it. And Kincaid would be perfectly happy making another documentary on fermentation. Mm. And we have yeast as a through line, which is not a sentence I ever thought I'd say.
Yeah. It was that the contrast between them was great, and the humor that comes out, and it also lends to their characters, and like you get to know them a little better. This is like Kincaid is very matter of fact. I just want to document this, and it's not for anybody else. And the Rezavi is like, let's make something awesome.
Yeah, she's very mischievous. Yeah. Mischievous, I like her a lot.
I feel like she would have done really well in reality TV.
Yeah.
I mean, the Colleen bit. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just the extreme gardening. I just like plants.
It's fun because Kincaid, just wants to sit back and let events unfold naturally. And Rezavi wants to manipulate things very much like you do in reality TV production. She's like, we got to go in for this angle. We have to get the love angle in there. And we have to spice everything up.
This is so boring.
I think Rezavi has actually, she is really good at making the great sense of the camera, the composition work.
Right. It's like up angle, down angle.
How many cameras do you have? What's your special effects budget? She's like, we've all worked with someone like this, I think. can you just, you're the second AD. Can you let me maybe do my project?
It's just fun because he just wants to see the day as it happens. And she's like, this is my vision. I'm going to make something amazing.
Right.
And I love, for me, it's the contrast between Colavan's and Coran's interviews, where Colavan's is just white bread, cut and dry, boring as anything. It's very factual.
Right.
And then she intercuts and says, all right, well, that's the facts. Now tell it like you were telling an awesome story to a buddy at the gym. And it's the exact same story. Because this is how Colavan does. And then we cut to Coran, who has his own jump cuts for some reason, provides his own sound effects, provides his own Shiro voices, which are wonderful. Like, right. Karan is kind of everything Rezavi wanted, to the point where she's almost not necessary for his interview.
Right.
Yeah, documenting Korriban and the Koran, yeah, it makes somehow funnier.
Oh, yeah. I really liked how the sparse use of music in this episode, because, you know, you go into a documentary, most of the time you're going to focus on diegetic sounds. But when Karan's being interviewed, all of a sudden there's a sweeping score to accompany his self-made sound effects.
Because it's Karan. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just it.
I wish we could have done an episode just on the day in the life of Karan. That would have been amazing. Just follow him around.
Yeah, his daily life. I want to see it.
Honestly, I would have loved a full up and down recap show where it's just him telling the story. Maybe some interjections, maybe a couple people going, you forgot this part, or that isn't how that happened, or I never said that. But I would love Karan doing a recap show.
I think it's kind of funny that in this episode we have Karan relaying a story in a very exciting, dynamic way. And then in the next episode, we have a piece of merchandise that refers to him as Karan the Lying Man.
I think the people in the next episode have a bit of a problem with Karan.
That's also true.
But you live with his foibles. But yeah, back to the music. We have it for Karan. We have elevator music, which I think is one of my favorite things ever, that the Atlas has elevator music. And we have that rock and roll riff for Colleen for the, again, extreme gardening.
Right. Yeah, the music was really good. It was really well thought out on balancing between live footage and accentuating the scenes.
Was working on the sound design for this episode particularly challenging? Because a lot of times there are deliberate distortions and you have to make it sound like parts of it are being captured by an internal microphone.
Well, we didn't have any. We left that to the composer and Joaquim and Lauren and how they saw it. We mostly just, like, we add little sound effects during the animatics stage. We don't have anything to do with the music. But yeah, it was pretty amazing. Just watching the final product for the first time, like, wow, that pulled the scene together so well.
Yeah. I loved this through line of the battle scene with, I'm calling it the Space Kraken because we don't really know what it was. It was a giant squid and a gas planet. That's right. Two things you don't ever want to deal with together at the same time. But becoming this found footage aspect, and it's picked up by Bibi, and it's picked up by the mice, and we get to see what's going on the bridge and out the window, and just all of those different movements and all of those different perspectives on what happens on the Atlas when there's a battle going down was incredible to watch.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun to figure out, like, what does what and how the interior kind of collapses and what the view is and hint at things. It was a lot of fun, and the storyboarders did an amazing job of capturing that.
Yeah, I think it's very clever to show the transition.
Yeah.
Because at some point they dropped the camera, then that Bebe picks up with the Mars, then going to the command station. Then we saw that.
It was, and the shape of the shape of the camera is perfect. It's a ball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dogs pick up balls, retrieve balls. So it would be a natural thing to do.
So the POV, the dog's POV. Yeah. So we are seeing the tentacles and the Voltron. Yeah, it's struggling. It's really great. Yeah, the great angle.
Go ahead. For a couple minutes, it was very reminiscent of Cloverfield. And so I wanted to ask, were there any specific films or TV shows or documentaries that you guys drew from for direct inspiration?
I've seen Cloverfield and a lot of the found footage with Paranormal Activity and stuff like that. I don't know if I pulled anything, maybe subconsciously I did, but not directly.
There was no point where we turned on the night vision and found a monster in the sun.
Yeah.
Cloverfield may have traumatized me.
I have a love-hate relationship with a lot of found footage horror movies. There's a lot of cleverness, but then there's a lot of contrivedness too. So like every time there's something clever in a found footage horror movie, there's also something kind of cliche. And so I always appreciate when the documentary style is done and something is new is done with it.
Right.
So
right.
I really liked this episode.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Mm. Yeah, doggy cam, mouse cam.
yeah. Actually, there was we were pretty long on this episode, so we had to cut out some of the extra footage of the camera floating through the Atlas, and like there's a one scene that was cut where the camera's floating through and you see the wolf just floating in the shot. Like, it just floats by and you see the wolf just gnawing on something and just floats by. So we've got a lot of scenes like that were cut for time.
Oh, really?
But I thought it was kind of fun, funny.
Yeah, but the hallway, the camera spins are really cool.
Yeah.
They really are. Were there any other cut scenes? Were there any, like, this is the kind of stuff I really love to hear about, honestly.
Stuff that gets left on the cutting room floor.
Yes.
I think that was one scene, and then there was a couple. I think some scenes are just cut shorter, like some of the dialogue's cut out, or there's some great Koran takes that were unfortunately cut out for time. It was like just so funny. Rhys Darby's is just amazing, and just like, we don't have time, but it's so good.
So. Again, we want a whole episode of just Koran.
Yeah.
30 minutes of Koran outtakes. And then speaking of, like, I have to say my favorite line in this episode, because I am a terrible person, was cutting back to the MFE fighters after the space squid fight and Griffin just going, "Oh, tentacles." Like, oh, honey, this can't be the worst thing you've ever seen.
Oh, poor Griffin.
It's just this little teeny scene, but I absolutely loved it because we mostly just see the combat facing side of things. Mm-hmm. We don't usually get afterwards after the fight unless there's some big dramatic moment going on. So talking about it afterwards, just like tentacles.
Yeah, so we can just imagine, how the tentacle was horrible.
I spent enough time on the internet. I know what I mean.
I will refrain from...
Yeah, no comment. That's none of my business.
And we're all just like, okay, moving away from that. I did love the individual interviews that we had going on that Rezavi was trying so hard to set up with varying degrees of success. We talked about Kalavan and Koran, but our other interviews gave us a through line for the story. We had an interview with Keith and Pidge talking about heading down to the surface, finding a disabled Robeast. We talked with Rommel, there we go, that's the name, and talked with Alora, and we have this through line about finding the Altaian pilots and trying to get through to them, and this marked lack of success and frustration on Alora's part.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been really hard watching her this over the course of this season, because she's been hit with roadblock after roadblock. And especially after episode 6, where she made the choice to let Hinerva go, like, those decisions are weighing on her. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we really see that play out in episode 8. But we'll get to that.
I wrote down 3 or 4 lines from her, and I'm having trouble finding them in my notes because I need a better notes system. Yeah, though talking with Alora, do you think we'll ever find Onerva? No, I think she'll find us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty yikes. Dark.
I mean, most things around Alora this season have been pretty dark, and this is going into spoiler territory, so we'll save it for a little bit. But knowing what happens and then rewatching the season bit by bit, it's easy to see the ending developing the way it is. Mm. Like, when you know that that is what's going to happen, it's easier to see the steps that led there. It's easier to pick out the mounting frustration that she has and all these roadblocks she's experiencing. And, the ending, to me, makes a lot more sense on a second watch through.
Right. All the little seeds that have been the writers and Joachim and Lauren planted along the way to get you to the very end. I think it makes it satisfying, especially on the second watch through or the third watch through. It's like, oh, I see where it comes. Sometimes you're watching like other shows, like you're like, that came out of nowhere. But when you kind of watch on the second review and you're like, oh, I missed that. Oh, I get it now.
So this is where that nice. Came
yeah.
from.
Yeah.
Mm. And this watching this season the first time through, you know, for one, you probably marathon it for the most part. For another, you spend so much time going, oh my God, how are they going to end it? What's going on? And screaming into the void at every development that you miss stuff. So a second watch through, and I say this to everyone who's watching this who may not have watched it a second time, a second watch through is really beneficial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, you enjoy it a lot more the second time around. When you, oh, yeah, this is the documentary episode. Yes!
it's cool to see where those plot threads ultimately end up leading. But I also like it, and again, we'll talk about this a little bit more when we talk about the next episode, but I like the sort of dark mirror aspect about how a lot of this season is building towards this confrontation, mm-hmm. specifically between Hunnerva and Allura. They come from the same planet. They've experienced a lot of the same loss, and they're both feeling this relentless drive to get what they want.
Right.
So it's an interesting parallel looking at the two of them.
Yeah. Especially on Laura's storyline for this season is like she should be elated to see the other Altaians. It should be a happy moment, but it's now it's just dread and roadblock after roadblock, and it's like she's getting turned away by her own people, and it's
devastating.
Yeah.
You spend so much time thinking you're alone, and then you're not, and then it turns out you're just as alone as you thought you were.
Right.
Which is almost worse. Like, oh my God, I'm not the last one. Some of my people are still around. And they've all been brainwashed and are in a death cult. Great! Awesome!
Yeah, but also I like how Hank tries to help them.
Oh, it's so perfect.
It's so sweet. Yeah, actually, he makes sweet. Altan dessert.
And this is where our yeast through line and our Altaian through line come together. And seriously, the sentences tonight. This is where they come together because we've seen a lot of work trying to bring in the Altaian pilots and trying to reach out to them with varying low degrees of success. And we've also seen Hunk working on different batches of things, trying to find a specific strand of yeast from Colleen, all in order to make this traditional Altaian dessert. Yeah. And presenting it to the Altaians with just the most awkward moment. I promise it's not poison. It's really good. Come on, guys.
I will say, though, I feel like given enough time, Hunk, you know, in the kitchen could definitely achieve universal peace. Just given enough time, that man could bring peace to the entire universe just from his kitchen.
I mean, we talked about that a little bit on a Garfle Warfle Snick.
Yeah.
Like, choosing Hunk as the diplomat because he gets along with everyone. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Put a good meal in front of anybody, they're not going to be... They're just going to be eating and enjoying themselves.
Yeah. Like, yeah, actually, it opens up. Yeah, their heart.
It works.
I really like the way he put it. Like, foods have the ability to bring up certain memories, and maybe the memory of this particular dish will remind them of a time when they could smile a lot easier. It was really poignant, really sweet.
Yeah.
And I do like that Tova is the first to open up, and Tova is the one that they're looking to kind of as their leader.
Yeah, it was funny, like, just watching everybody, like, as he's, like, lifting the cookie, everyone's, like, looking at him, like, is this okay? I don't know.
These are our enemies, and they're trying to feed us, and oh, this is actually really good. Oh.
Then others just started.
Is it okay? Is Tova dead? Nope. Great.
It tastes like home, and it's just like, aww.
It tastes like a home they never knew.
Right.
Because this is multiple generations removed from, well, we don't know how long Altaians live on average, but 10,000 years, I'd say, is longer than the average. So this is generations removed from the last Altaians who would have ever seen Altea. So presenting them with this traditional dessert and then saying, well, I can't answer your questions about Altea, but we have Altaians here who can! You should maybe talk to them. And it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the first time that this has worked. So it's less reaching out with compassion and more reaching out with a different angle of compassion.
Yeah. Well, it stopped being an interrogation at that point because they weren't cooperating. So every time, yeah, they went to talk to them, it was very much an interrogation setting. Bringing food into the equation is, it's, no, we're breaking bread together.
Yeah.
Mm.
Less
we're not
formal.
Hostile.
You're not so much in a holding cell, though you are, but here's some food.
It's a cozy holding cell. Yeah. It's fine. We'll get some throw pillows. It'll be great.
Trying to make it a little homier.
Yeah, a homey cell. All right.
How dare.
I think we've touched on just about everything in terms of overarching things. One of the things I do want to touch on before we move on is we have a scene with Kincaid saying goodbye to a character named Sook Jin, which seems like it's just a normal scene on the surface, and then you hit the end credits of the series, and there's an in memoriam. So can you tell us a little bit about Sook Jin?
Yeah, he was an amazing... Mm-hmm. I only got to work with him a short period of time, but he was an amazing storyboard artist at Studio Mirror, who tragically passed away in a car accident, him and his son. Mm-hmm. And kind of touched us all, how hard he worked and how talented and how much, you know, we had looked forward to his... Yeah, I can't say how, you know... that's kind of tough to put into words, but yeah, the crew really wanted to do something special for him and his family and Studio Mirror, and it was kind of a last minute thing, but I think it was very poignant, and it's kind of in the tradition of, you know, or not tradition, but part of in war, you have people come and go, so it kind of fit the theme also.
Yeah, it was a beautiful send-off. Mm-hmm. And thank you for talking to us about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, is there anything else we want to touch on for this episode? Is there anything else you have to say about it? Any fun moments that we forgot?
I always like asking what was the most challenging aspect about directing any given episode, so... I'm assuming it was the extended sequence within the hallway, but yeah, was there anything else that was a particular challenging thing to sort of tackle?
I think every episode has its challenges. I think this one was finding those transitions, trying to lock the camera POV down, and keeping track of like the battery life and all that stuff, and just the multiple things to juggle.
Stuff you don't even think about, but yeah, the battery starts to deplete as time goes on. Right. There's a continuous time stamp the entire time.
Right.
Yeah, there are a lot of little details to keep track of when you change the point of view like that.
Right.
And that one moment where we get footage from Pidge's visor.
Yeah.
Which was unexpected, but great to see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, coming up with those transitions was the big challenge in that episode.
Well, it was very well put together. We enjoyed the hell out of it, obviously.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, because since it's a documentary, so it doesn't have to be set up. Yeah, but actually, we have to set up each scene. It's very challenging.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's paid off. It's a great episode.
Yeah.
Those transitions were seamless.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It
absolutely
all flowed
beautiful.
Fantastically.
All right, well, we need to move on to Clear Day, but before we do that, we have an announcement for y'all.
Hey, guys. Before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. 5 lions, 5 stars. You can't form Voltron with any less than that.
You're stealing my bit.
But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant a lot to us, and we really appreciate you supporting us in doing what we love. Don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying our show.
And if you want to support the show, if you enjoy the show, if you want to add to our After Bros circle to invite more people into the Tavern of Lions, the best thing you can do, head to iTunes, leave that review, rate us 5 stars, because, yeah, you need 5 lions to form Voltron. Anything else than that just won't do.
Sorry, I stole your joke.
You did. You did. You knew it was coming, and you took it anyway.
I'm sorry.
I forgive you. Yeah, head to iTunes, rate us 5 stars, leave a review. We love seeing those. And the more ratings and the more reviews we have, the higher we rise in the iTunes ranking, so people who go looking for Voltron can find us much more easily. Also, we like to give people shout-outs when they leave reviews. Unfortunately, while iTunes is good at aggregating reviews, it's beans at organizing them. So, when you leave a review, also be sure to screen cap it and leave it in the hashtag #ABTVVoltron. We love those, we're having a tough time seeing them, and we really do want to give you guys the recognition and the gratitude that you deserve for supporting this show that we are absolutely enjoying the hell out of doing. So, do the thing. It is wonderful. Yes. Let's continue on to Clear Day.
Yay!
This episode reminded me a lot of Space Mall, in that one character has a life-changing spiritual quest, and everyone else gets to go screw around. I love it.
It was such a fun episode.
Yeah, it's very fun episode. Yeah, except Alura. I have to mention that. Yeah,
I think we should start with Alura.
Okay.
Although you were saying something.
I was just about to ask, what was your favorite part about directing this episode?
Yeah, of course, carnival part. It's very fun to work on it.
It's a lot of fun putting people in different scenarios.
Yeah. Yeah, all those paladins and other Atlas crew, yeah, just go to the planet to provide free security. But it turns out they all enjoy the carnival. Yeah, it's very fun. Yeah.
And stuff. Keith being the only one to take it seriously and having him shoot himself
in the
foot.
It's serious whole time.
Because he's Keith, and this is what he does.
I think one of my favorite bits was him going around and asking people, like, have you seen any suspicious activity? And they're like,
going around and asking if we've seen suspicious activity.
It's real suspicious and real shady.
And at least he's savvy enough to go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's me, isn't it?
Okay.
All right. I've been around Lance long enough that I can pick up on these now.
He's like, oh, sarcasm. That's what that was.
Right. I get this. Yeah. He's learning how to people.
And also, I really enjoyed to see all those carnival games.
Yes.
Like, for example, the PH plays a Waka...
Waka Koran.
Waka Koran. Yeah, then the Lance. Yeah.
Oh, with the ring toss.
Lance getting absolutely shystered by the ring toss guy was...
He just gets scammed.
Oh, absolutely. And it was just incredible to watch. Like, oh my God, dude, how did you fall for literally all of the tricks? Every single one.
Yeah, and the shooting games and it's a fun ride. Clear Day ride. Yeah, with Hank and Keith. That's your best part too.
Yeah, that moment in there when they're riding is so funny.
Yeah,
I absolutely like. Oh, Hunk!
We've had a couple people say off camera that was their favorite bit.
Because everyone who's been to Disneyland or Disney World at some point has probably gone on Small World, and they've revamped it, I want to say, within the past decade, so it's a lot nicer than it used to be, but it's definitely the last ride that you want to get stuck on when the ride breaks down, because that earworm of a song is, it's a thing. It is a thing.
That song's amazing.
And I love that it starts off with Hunk saying, I don't like rides. I don't want to do this. I want to go on rides. And immediately going, I love it. And Keith is in his own personal hell.
Well, because, Hunk went on to this ride thinking it was going to be, one of those scary dark rides.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of creepy carnival-esque. But, Keith ends up being the one to be terrified.
Keith's just like, I did 2 years in the quantum zone. And I'd rather be back there, man. That's better.
I feel like Hunk would really enjoy Disneyland.
Yeah. We had this conversation a couple seasons back about what would they do at Disneyland, who would ride what, who would run into park security.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wonderful Princess Ponies made us our own Voltron mouse ears.
Yeah.
Which was great.
Oh, nice.
And now we know that Hunk would absolutely hit up Fantasyland.
And Keith would get in trouble for trying to leave Small World before it was over. And him just straight up busting his way out of the ride, like, that is desperation.
Yeah. Well, I love the comedic beats of it, of the they get stuck on the ride, it gets going again after an extended period of time, and then it gets stuck, and then he's like, okay, no, I gotta go.
I'm down.
I'm out.
It has just not been fun for Keith. He takes it too seriously. He finally does something fun, and it's just the one thing where, nope.
Yeah, I thought that was a great opportunity, finally, Keith. Enjoy something, but no.
No.
Too much Colovan influence.
Totally.
I didn't see Colovan at the carnival.
That's true.
What would he have done?
I think, he just left.
I don't understand fun. No. What does that word mean?
He's actually keeping up a perimeter around the carnival.
Maybe
doing the security thing. Providing
real security.
Yes.
Yeah. He's like, I'm good out here.
That's Colovan's carnival experience. It was a great day. We provided security. I walked exactly 30 paces to the north and to the right.
At this time, I did this and saw this. Nothing happened. It was amazing.
It was a great day. And Keith just like, why didn't you take me with you?
Fun was had by all.
Except for Keith. But yeah, this was also a morale-boosting exercise because the conceit is, we're here to provide security and also make it up to these people for ruining their last clear day. But also, everyone's been really depressed since we lost on Irva, so let's just chill for a day. Mm-hmm. Let's take some time. Let's feel better about things.
I think they need it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and also Koran. Yeah, Koran gets into the competition. It's called the Yalmar
calling
competition.
I love
that. That was amazing.
Yeah.
I love that Yalmars and learning to call Yalmars from his great-grandpappy and whatnot has just been a running thing with Koran, and it comes to fruition with this competition.
Then finally, Koran was given an award in recognition of his Yalmar calling skill. That's amazing.
I think I was astounded that there were other people who had that skill. And then on top of that, that there was a contest to determine who was the best.
And just she did a twist on this technique. She's good. Very good.
I can just imagine Reese just... I don't even know what the direction for the vocal direction for that would have been. Would it have been just like, just make noises. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So here's the audio of the Yalmar call you did like 4 seasons ago. Do this, but more.
Yeah, how do you escalate it? It was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's Reese Darby. You just believe in him.
He found a way.
But that was a fun thing to watch. Pidge trying to win prizes and getting tokens from her parents.
Yeah. I love that part too. Yeah.
And just Colleen is the reason that this family stays together and is amazing as it is, because Colleen gets things done.
Yeah.
And she doesn't let her kids run roughshod all over. Like, I love Sam. Sam is wonderful. Sam also has a big soft spot for his daughter. Yeah. So it's like, how many do you need? So Colleen's like, no.
He just can't deny. Yeah. He's just begging.
Well, she's never made puppy dog eyes before.
It's her friend.
Okay, how much?
And I love that this is the relationship that she has with her dad, and the relationship she has with her mom is a 180 degree turn. Like, Colleen drives the hardest of bargains.
Yeah, Colleen is above, a cut above.
Yes!
She's incredible. She's one of my favorite aspects of this season and the last one. Adding her as a character is just a wonderful decision.
Colleen is a queen. We stan a queen. She is incredible. And again, she's the reason things get done in this family. And I wrote down the bartering sequence for this because I loved it so much. And I'm trying to find where it is. Yeah. Colleen wants a family picture. Pidge gets to pick the costume. Colleen gets to add something, and Pidge has to smile. Half smile. Deal.
It does such a great job of painting what their home, yeah. like painting a picture of what their home life is like. Just the fact that Pidge went to her dad because she knew that her dad wouldn't be able to say no. And the mom not standing for that. It was really fun watching that whole yeah. sequence play out.
Yeah, as a parent, that really rings true. My daughters yeah. play off my wife and I all the time. Like, you know, I ask mom says no, they come to me. I'm like, what did mom say?
I had someone do that to me at work today. I was beyond angry when I found out. Oh yeah, no, adults still do that too. But just this family dynamic and Matt's girlfriend? Partner yeah. in crime? Question? Is he dating yeah. a robot?
I think she is an alien, I think.
She's just in a helmet.
Yeah,
in
a helmet all the time, mechanical voice. It's her clients, I'm not sure, but yeah.
Yeah. I like that, though. She's part of the family now.
Yeah. yeah. That's sweet.
Matt's hot alien girlfriend. Dresses up with the Kigurumi picture with the family. That's how you know it's real.
Aw, that's so cute.
It's absolutely wonderful. Mm. And so Pidge's eye is on the shiny helmet prize because something shiny for Alora is a thing. And this is not a society that believes in crowns. This is a mining society. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a golden mining helmet with all sorts of jewels on it because, of course...
It was a nice touch. I think the level of sass that this carnival employee had, like, really excellent writing, just when it came to writing her, every prize is the best prize, and here's a shovel so yeah. you can dig yourself out of the yeah. hole you found yourself in.
Yeah, I like the way she's saying, okay, then yeah, you can just give it. Yeah,
just this disaffected yeah, teenager always. Who this holiday comes once every God knows how long, and she's working.
It definitely read to me like a teenager who's here as a summer job. Mm. That yeah, she can mm-hmm. care
totally
less
I can
about.
See it. Yeah.
Congratulations, you won.
Yay. Every prize is yeah. the best prize.
This one.
Disaffected teenager yeah. is
for a princess.
Yeah. I'm not even going to try to sell this because let's be real, it's funny money and cheap prizes, but whatever. It pays whatever bills I have as a disaffected teenager. And then Shiro and arm wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
This was a thing of wonder and glory. Yeah. Oh my God.
This was fabulous.
Bless yeah. him.
And great returning character, Warden.
Yeah! And just this conversation about, oh, you got me fired. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I figured out what was good in my life. I love, and my favorite thing was your comment, because again, on a rewatch, we're noticing, oh, hey, that's Curtis. Oh, Curtis does this. We watch with the subtitles on.
Spoiler alert.
It's a character that's there on the bridge. And so, yeah, I think I do have to put your comment behind a spoiler alert. I yes. think we'll save that, but it was a good one.
What I really love about this, first of all, I love just the whole setup mm-hmm. to this particular plot line, because it's like this guy, you could tell like he was really annoyed about Voltron's sort of role in the last yeah. Clear Day, but and he just sits down and basically manipulates them into doing yeah. exactly what he wants for the entire episode. He gets Voltron to come down, mm-hmm. and then he gets the leader of their team to participate in this big championship yeah. by just throwing all of the shade.
Arm wrestling is for the young and strong. Yeah. You're old like me. Like those me. Kids yeah. will break you now. Like, where do I sign yeah. up? And Shiro's like, gonna recommend.
And he's like, dance, puppets, dance.
Oh, yeah. But then it's just so much fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And it's nice yeah. to see. And everyone at this point has converged on the arm wrestling final. And it's great to have this victory, not only for Shiro, but for all of them. They're all kind of living vicariously mm-hmm. through this.
I think probably a really great touch was when they were getting ready for the championship. Yeah. They get like these cute stances where it looks like a fighting game introduction.
It's a full-on choose your character lock and fighting game entrance, like Shiro with the arm and then the warden just like, you. I love it. They're great bits of character animation.
Yeah. Makes me want the Voltron fighting game. Like the Voltron Marvel versus Capcom.
I'm in. Sign me up. Let's do this. We are real short on time, we have to talk about the extremely upsetting vision quest that Laura has. Because we start with interviewing Tavo, and turns out Onerva has a long-range kill switch installed in all of her Altaians. Like, oh, you want to give out it? It's like if someone else was able to trigger cyanide pills and spies. That's pretty much what this is. And Allura manages to remove what is essentially a piece of the entity, mm-hmm. this thing that we haven't seen since the flashback episode, from Tavo. And we have it under lock and key. And then she's feeling ill. She's having a hell of a day. Everyone else go to the carnival. I'm going to take some R&R. Except that she starts hallucinating things. Hallucinating Lotor, mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly just her ex coming back and being like, you know you want to.
that's a very horrible way to seduce her.
Like, she's hallucinating Lance doing it. Yeah. And when that doesn't work, it's like, oh, your current squeeze won't work? Let's work with your ex.
I think one of my favorite aspects about this entire sort of side story is the camera angles that you guys chose. Yep. Because it's meant to be very domineering, very off-kilter. So was it sort of challenging sort of figuring out ways to show the shifting power dynamics?
Oh, yeah. That sequence, actually, our showrunners, the Loren. Yeah.
Ah.
Loren took these sequences. It's amazing.
Yeah, she's really good at finding the emotional... Yeah.
Emotional stuff, yeah.
The emotional beats and how to shoot it. And she's amazing at doing that.
And this extended vision with being back on Altea, seeing her mom, seeing herself as a Robeast pilot, and killing part of Altea to try to save it. Mm-hmm. Like, and then the Juniberry in her room is sucked dry of quintessence. Like, it was all a dream. Or was it? Spoilers, it really wasn't. Because long story short, Lotor convinces her to do drugs, kids, because it's cool. And she takes in the entity and wipes out. Like, yikes!
Yeah, those scenes are very quick cuts, but those get feelings a lot, big time.
I think the most emotionally devastating thing was seeing her mother just fade away. Ugh.
Yeah.
That was rough.
Yeah, her mom basically got Thanos snapped.
A little bit.
I'm so proud of you. I don't feel so good.
Oh.
Yikes. So as much fun as we had this episode, we definitely ended on that extremely dramatic note of Allura making some very bad decisions and getting completely knocked out as a result. Just yikes.
Yeah. It was a really good balance. Yeah. Of really, really heavy, high-stakes drama that was really well-balanced with the fun sort of hijinks going on at the carnival.
I do want to throw the spoiler warning down real quick, because I do have to share that
spoiler
comment.
Spoiler alert!
So if you haven't finished the series, I guess plug your ears.
Come back in like 35 seconds. Watching the arm wrestling finals, and she goes... This is when Curtis fell in love.
Wow.
Because he's there.
Yeah, he's there.
Yeah.
Only Soro, yeah.
He's only just looking up at that stage going, whoa, that's a man.
To be fair, who can blame him?
I can't. Woo!
But all in all, both of these were fantastic episodes.
These were a lot of fun to watch. They were emotional in all the right places, incredibly well executed, just chef kiss. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
yeah, do we have anything else to say about these episodes before we start to wrap?
Anything you want to let fans know about the behind the scenes?
I do kind of wonder what Colleen warned about a certain type of yeast and what it would do.
Don't touch that one.
Yeah.
And also, I like the little touch. So in Alura's room, so there is a juniperberry flower. So Colleen mentioned in your episode. So she gave it to her.
The one living juniperberry, and then the hallucination killed it.
Yeah, it just killed it. Yeah.
It was a really good setup.
Yeah. Colleen grew up those juniperberry a lot, so just she can bring another one. So.
I'll make you another one. I'm sorry that happened. Usually the flowers I make don't just spontaneously drop dead. Are there any other projects that you're working on that you can tell us about?
I'm still at DreamWorks working on a show called Kipo that will debut sometime this year, late.
All right.
But that's all I can say, really.
Yeah, I'm working at Netflix Animation Studio. Then I'm working on the show called Maya and the Three. Do you know the Book of Life? It's a movie. It came out 3 or 4 years ago.
We're familiar with Book of Life. Yeah. So good.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, the creator, the Jorge. Yeah, Jorge, he's making a new show at Netflix. Yep. It's going to be
I gotta get you on the Netflix PR emails. That's going to be a blast. Yeah. Where can the fans go on social media if they'd like to keep up with you?
Yeah, maybe
Twitter, maybe Instagram handles.
Tumblr or, yeah. I think, yeah, Twitter. Okay.
What's your Twitter handle?
Twitter handle is, TekuriK. So, TekuriK.
All right.
And I can be found on Instagram. It's MC_animate.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight, you guys. This was great.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
All right, and Megan, where can the people find you?
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I also do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost, so be sure to check that out.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxe. That is KIAXET. I also do an Overwatch League podcast called On the Point. You can follow Red Lion Emma Fife at Emma Fife, Blue Lion Alexis Torres at ATorres890, and Yellow Lion Mark Donica at Mark B. Donica. Remember to throw things in the hashtag #ABTVVoltron. We do check that throughout the week, and we love seeing what you guys do. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.